Grace and peace to you in our God who was and who is to come. I've recently been reading a book called Ladder to the Light by Stephen Charleston. Charleston is a member of the Choctaw Nation, and he has been an Episcopal bishop in Alaska, the dean of the Episcopal Divinity School, and a professor at Luther Seminary. Each morning in prayer, he speaks in humility and listens to the Spirit. He hears words from the Spirit, which he writes down, and he shares these each day. During COVID, he started to share these words he receives from Spirit on Facebook and was amazed to find that thousands of people now are following to read these words that he shares each day. And his book is based on these teachings from Spirit and his many years working in the Christian community and also in the Native community. In chapter 3, he writes, the third rung on the ladder to light is about hope. He writes, in 1831, the world came to an end for my family and for all the families that were part of the Choctaw Nation. That year, we were forced off our ancestral homeland and made to walk on a death march we called the Trail of Tears. Thousands of people died. We lost our homes, our way of life, even our graveyards. We lost everything. Everything that is, except the one thing they could not take from us, hope. Hope kept us going, kept us climbing toward the light, even though the world seemed to be filled with nothing but darkness. The third on the ladder is the rung of hope, because hope is what emerges when you mix faith, the first rung of the ladder, and blessing, the second rung. I am not talking about wishful thinking. I am not talking about miracles. I am talking about hope as a tool to create light, a spark that can suddenly illuminate the gloom that creeps into our lives. The reason we have faith as the tinder and blessing as the spark is so that we can have hope, the first flame of light in the darkness. And Charleston goes on to share these words he received from Spirit. All we need is within us, wisdom, courage, love. They were all placed there from the very beginning of our lives, stored away for such a day as this. Strength and insight, faith and vision, kindness and compassion, everything we need to survive, to overcome, to grow. These traits have been prepared for us and entrusted to us. We have the spiritual resources we need, the gifts and the skill. We even have the key, a simple word of prayer. Open my heart, O Spirit. Open my mind and my spirit. Let me use what you have given me. Let me trust what you have shown me. Let me be what you have made me. On this day, we remember another atrocity perpetrated by the government and the churches of our nation on the Native peoples, the violence and terror of Indian boarding schools. Boarding schools were intended to erase Native cultures and languages by forcing children to speak, dress, and act like the majority culture. We do this remembrance as part of our participation in the movement of truth and healing for Native people, a movement which begins with hearing and speaking the truth. It involves opening our hearts and our minds, listening to the stories of boarding school survivors and their descendants, to hear the trauma passed down in generations, and then beginning to talk about how to bring healing for the great harm that's been done. The ELCA, the church, national church that we are a part of, is working to be a part of this movement to address the wrong that we were part of toward our Native neighbors, and to be a part of a new hope for wholeness and peace. When I hear the story about the Trail of Tears, or the long walk of the Dene people, their own Trail of Tears, of Indian boarding schools, I feel ashamed. Ashamed of what my people, my church, have historically done to other people. Now, there is a movement in this country that is trying to whitewash that history, to prevent schools from teaching the darker chapters of American history with regards to racial injustice. People who are unwilling to feel the shame and discomfort that goes with hearing and speaking the truth. Instead, they want to use their privilege to just cover over that truth and wish it away. It would be easy to do this. It would be easy to give up, to put our head in the sand and say, oh, it's not my problem. It doesn't affect me. But faith calls us in a different direction. The first step toward healing requires truth and repentance, even when it is difficult. Only this way lies hope for a better future of freedom and justice for all people. St. Paul writes in the letter to the Philippians, and again from the First Nations version, walk the path Creator has given you for being set free and made whole. For the Great Spirit is creating in you the desire and the strength to do what pleases the Spirit. Following Jesus is a path that is empowered by the strength of the Holy Spirit and leads us to being set free and made whole. And for us, that path of wholeness begins in baptism. In baptism, we are given a starting place, a core identity as beloved children of God. And those of you who have been around here for very long know that this is my thing about baptism, right? When you are baptized into Christ Jesus, that is who you are from that day forward. When we baptize Sophia today, we will give her this gift of knowing her first identity is in God. It is a gift that we all share in the community of God's people. So that whenever the forces of the world try to tell us who we are, when social media and the advertising that surrounds us and the expectations we face at school and at work try to tell us that we are not cool enough or smart enough or attractive enough or good enough, that we don't work hard enough or have enough things, we can remember that it is God who has the first and last word on who we are, that God calls us good and beloved, and that identity in God is what makes us free and whole. And that is where we find our hope. Because we can deal with what is uncomfortable and what is difficult, what is frightening and dark in the world and in our lives, knowing that our identity is first and always in God. Our baptism gives us an identity, and it also gives us a calling, a purpose, a reason, a meaning in life. In baptism, we are called to follow Jesus, to live our lives in his way of love, truth, peace, and justice. In baptism, we are offered the gift of the Holy Spirit, who blesses us with the gifts to enjoy our lives and to serve with our lives. This is that word that Father Charleston heard from Spirit, right? We have what we need: wisdom, courage, love. We have those gifts in the Holy Spirit, who comes to us in baptism and all through our lives. In baptism, we are offered also that gift of encouragement always on our way. And all of this gives us hope. That whatever happens in our world and in our lives, we belong to God and we have a purpose and place in the world as God's people. Hopelessness and despair are not an option for God's people, because we trust that our Creator is always at work in us and in the world to bring healing and wholeness. But neither is putting our heads in the sand and wishing for it to go away an option for God's people. Because we are baptized into hope, and we are called to carry that hope into the world. As we celebrate the baptism of Sophia today, may each of us be reminded of and affirmed in our own baptism. May we be reminded that every child is a beloved child of God, and that part of our calling as God's people is to make sure each child is protected and included. May we open our hearts to hear the voices that have been nearly silenced, left out, and pushed aside. May we be instruments of care and blessing, of truth and healing for all who are in need of justice and love. And may we live our lives as examples of what it means to walk the Creator's path in hope and courage, as people set free and made whole. Thanks be to God. Amen.